Hello and welcome back. It's been a week that, if you were paying attention, felt less like a news cycle and more like a slow-moving consensus forming in real time. Let me walk you through it. The story that dominated everything else this week is Claude Code. Not as a new release, not as a benchmark result, but as a cultural moment. The Wall Street Journal ran a piece on what they called getting Claude. That specific aha moment when someone uses Claude Code for actual work for the first time and something shifts in their understanding of what these tools can do. Jensen Huang, the NVIDIA CEO, stood up at Davos and told every software company it should be using it. That's a remarkable thing for the CEO of a chip company to say about a specific competitor's coding agent. And it tells you something about where the center of gravity in this industry currently sits. What's interesting is that the week's coverage wasn't just breathless enthusiasm. There was real texture to it. Nate B. Jones put together probably the most useful framing I saw: Claude Code as colleague, Codex as CNC machine. The colleague asks questions, stays in the loop, teaches you things incidentally. The CNC machine executes with inhuman precision, but only if you already know exactly what correct looks like before you start. Senior engineers apparently double their productivity with Codex. Anyone who hasn't fully internalized their own domain yet runs into trouble because vague specifications get executed faithfully and precisely wrong. The cursor experiments with GPT 5.2 added something genuinely surprising here. General reasoning ability, it turns out, can outperform specialized coding training on long autonomous tasks. The capacity to hold a coherent plan over time is apparently a generalized cognitive skill, not a domain-specific one. Arvid Kull's situation, covered by Brian Cassell, is the most concrete illustration of where this is actually landing in production. His podcast monitoring platform, Podscan, is 98 to 99% Claude written code. The mechanism isn't magic. It's a carefully maintained system prompt based on something called the Oxta framework, video walkthroughs of the whole app converted into structured documentation and what Carl calls comprehension debt management. The idea being that Claude builds a complete mental model of your code base, executes, then discards that model entirely. If you're not actively reviewing and staying in sync, your own understanding drifts from reality. He keeps 3,500 tests with over 12,000 assertions, partly as a safeguard against exactly that. It's a genuinely thoughtful engineering philosophy, not just vibes with an API key. Dario Amodei's comment from Davos is worth sitting with for a moment. Anthropic engineers, he said, barely write code manually anymore, and he's projecting AGI at Nobel laureate level for 2026 or 2027, driven precisely by this feedback loop. AI writing better AI. Demis Haspiz at the same event was notably more cautious, 50-50 by end of decade, and he named three things still missing: long-term memory, continuous learning, and genuine scientific creativity. Shane Lowe, DeepMind's co-founder and chief AGI scientist, posted that AGI is on the horizon and simultaneously advertised for a senior economist to study post-AGI economics. That last detail is the kind of thing that either reads as theatre or as a genuine signal depending on your priors. DeepMind posting for a post-AGI economist is at minimum a statement that they think the question is worth staffing. The Claude tooling ecosystem had a big week beyond just the headline agent, Claude Cowork, the GUI layer of the Claude desktop app. Got extensive coverage. The setup is elegant in its simplicity: a Claude.md rules file, a folder structure with context, inbox and outbox directories, and a morning routine where you answer three questions about your day and the system decides what it can handle in parallel. Several creators showed it drafting newsletters, researching stocks, building YouTube strategies, all without explicit task delegation. The agent interviews you and figures out where it can help. Anthropic also published a revised model specification. 26,000 tokens, analyzed by Theo from t3.gg, as effectively a system prompt operating at the training level. Four properties in priority order: safety, ethics, policy compliance, genuine helpfulness. The document explicitly prohibits sycophancy, which is the kind of thing that sounds obvious until you think about how often AI systems fail that test. Theo also had the most practically useful observation of the week on context management. More context is not better. Sonnet 4 drops from 100% success rate to under 60% when you throw an entire codebase at it. His recommendation: keep claw.md files small, document only the gotchas, use tools for navigation rather than dumping everything in via Repamix, runs directly counter to how a lot of people use these tools. The intuition that more information is always helpful turns out to be wrong in a way that matters enormously for actual output quality. The strategic news was dominated by one deal: Apple choosing Google Gemini as the foundation for its next generation of models, paying an estimated $1 billion a year, and walking away from the ChatGPT partnership. For OpenAI, this is triple damage: a PR hit, direct revenue loss, and a distribution problem. Gemini is now the default AI layer on both Android and iOS, which covers essentially the entire smartphone market. OpenAI's response was ChatGPT Go at $8 a month with advertising on free tiers. Which is notable because Sam Altman described advertising as a dystopian vision in a 2024 interview. The structural problem with OpenAI's ad model, as both Theo and Kyle Balmer pointed out independently, is that it lacks the targeting depth of Google or Meta. You need to know a lot about your users to make advertising genuinely valuable, and OpenAI's data position isn't comparable. XI closed a Series E at a $230 billion implied valuation, roughly level with OpenAI and Anthropic, funding expansion of the Colossus supercomputers in Memphis, where Grok 5 is being trained. Three labs, all at roughly similar scale, all racing towards similar targets. The Cloudflare acquisition of Astro is a different kind of story. Quieter, but worth noting. Astro, the web framework for content-oriented sites, was financially unsustainable despite being widely used because it was deliberately platform agnostic and couldn't monetize that openness. Cloudflare gives its stable full-time developers. The framework stays MIT licensed and independent. Theo's read was that this is a rare combination of Cloudflare's infrastructure reach with genuinely modern developer experience for static sites. On the local and open source side, Black Forest Labs released Flux2 Klein in four variants: two 9B models with non-commercial licenses and two 4B models under Apache 2.0, all targeting 8GB VRAM. The distilled 4B model generates images in around 9 seconds, with noticeably less of the plastic look that plagued earlier Flux versions. The AI with Arnie Channel provided 6 ready-made comfy UI workflows and showed an alternative path: export the JSON API, drop it in a code editor, and use Claude Code to build a simple HTML frontend instead. Leon Van Zyl demonstrated routing Claude Code traffic to ZAI's GLM models via a settings.json environment mapping. $30 a month instead of $100 to $200, with comparable performance on the Code Arena leaderboard. That's the kind of practical cost arbitrage that matters if you're using these tools heavily. The automation workflow space had a few genuinely clever ideas. Nate Herc built a system where failed N8N workflows automatically trigger Claude Code repairs via an ngrok tunnel. The agent analyzes the error log, identifies root cause, and implements fixes directly rather than just suggesting them. Same channel, different video. A workflow that takes Firefly's transcripts from sales calls, runs them through an AI agent prompted as a senior sales engineer, and generates a Gamma presentation automatically. The gap between demo and production is narrowing in specific measurable ways. Anthropic's own economic report, based on November 2025 usage data, had some grounding numbers worth holding on to. 52% of Claude interactions are augmentation rather than full automation. AI adoption is converging across US states 10 times faster than 20th century technologies. The effective eye coverage metric, which weights actual time spent on tasks and success rates rather than theoretical automatability, produces realistic productivity gains of around 1.0 to 1.2% annually, rather than the theoretical 1.8%. David Shapiro made the mathematics point separately. The frontier math benchmark has gone from under 2% into 4% to around 40% in early 20, driven by self-play with synthetic proofs. He frames what's coming as an age of verification. Formal proof of programs becoming routine rather than exceptional. A few quick notes from the shorter items. PG Text Search brings BM25 ranking directly into PostgreSQL without Elasticsearch, which is a genuinely useful infrastructure simplification. Pencil.dev combines Design Canvas and Code Repository in one workspace with MCP integration for Claude Code and Cursor. Anything LLM. Desktop 1.10 added a fully local meeting assistant with speaker identification and automatic agent skill suggestions post-meeting. In the demo, it created a GitHub issue directly from meeting content. Harmonic, the mathematics AI, solved new Erdos problems with Terence Tao's confirmation, which is the kind of result that would have been extraordinary to contemplate even 2 years ago. The thread that runs through all of this, if I'm honest about what struck me most, the question of what humans are actually for in these workflows is getting more specific, not less. Nate B. Jones put it well in his Builder's piece. There's a distinction between formal architecture, the conventions and code standards that are delegatable, and what he called quality without a name, taste, coherence, product vision. That second thing isn't compressible. You can't shortcut your way to understanding what you're actually building by shipping faster. The tools accelerate execution. They don't substitute for knowing what's worth executing. That gap between capability and readiness is probably the most important thing to sit with as all of this continues to move.